With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Drops the throw. Steps up. Floats a bomb up the right seam. Looking for Anderson. He's got it. They're not going to catch him. He's going to go the distance. Touchdown. Sam Darnold dials it up to Robbie Anderson. 92 yards.
Anderson, too much deflected. And picked up Mosey. He'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
Bell. Into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder, 85 yards.
Pass thrown, there was contact with the quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studios, coming to you courtesy of CBS Sports HQ, the brand new streaming sports news network, which has 24/7 live coverage of sports and costs you absolutely nothing, 100% free at all times, loaded with the things that I always look for in sports coverage, highlights, breaking news, fantasy advice, gambling picks, although I don't know that they're going to be as good as my brother Craig's, but still useful, and quality analysis. All those things are first rate on the CBS Sports HQ, and they're not something that you get very often from a lot of these big-time sports personalities, Skip Bayless. And the best part is, not only is it completely free 24/7, it doesn't even require a subscription or a login. You just download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Apple TV, Roku, Fire TV, and any other connected device at any time to watch CBS Sports HQ. No fake debates, just sports for real sports fans, just like you get here on Play Like a Jet, at the great price of absolutely nothing. You don't even have to log in or sign up for anything. Download the CBS Sports app and watch CBS Sports HQ today. This is the trade deadline preview show because, unlike most years, the Jets are expected to be very active at the trade deadline. We assume they are going to be sellers. So, of course, to talk about this, we bring in the man that is the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And, of course, above all of that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. What's going on, Chris? How are you?
Just sitting here surviving, waiting to make it to the next day.
Reminds me of Paulie Walnuts on The Sopranos when somebody asked how he was doing. He said, "You know, I'm alive. I'm surviving."
Exactly. That's really the only answer anyone should ever give to that generic question. How's it going? Yeah, you know, I'm still alive. That's it.
I also like George Carlin's joke about how each day breaks his previous record for consecutive days he stayed alive.
Yes.
A great actor and a great comedian we're citing here to start the show, Chris. No question about it. Let's talk about whether or not the Jets are going to make some great actions here at the trade deadline. A lot of buzz going around, and we're going to build this up because obviously most of the anticipation surrounds Robbie Anderson and Leonard Williams, so we will talk about them last. You're just going to have to wait until the end. That's how we're going to do this. We're going to keep you on the edge of your seat. And we're going to start with Tremaine Johnson and Darryl Roberts. There are people that have talked about either one of these guys are both getting traded. And I want to pour some cold water on this because, A, the Jets would have to take major cap hits to trade either one of them, and B, they're both terrible and nobody wants them.
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking about that they're going to be able to unload them, what are you even thinking that they're going to get back for them? Like, you're going to get back even – is somebody going to even give up a seventh for Trumaine Johnson? Like, who would do that, and why would they do that? And Darryl Roberts, I mean, what are you going to get from that? What team out there is needing cornerback help and is going to be like, Darryl Roberts is the answer there? You look at a team like the Eagles and how bad their secondary is struggling, and they're not going to throw on the tape of Darryl Roberts and be like, yeah, we need to get that guy. That guy's going to fix all our problems. We just missed on Jalen Ramsey, but we'll be all right with Darryl Roberts. That's not a thing. That's not going to happen. I just can't imagine that would happen. If I'm Joe Douglas and a trade offer for either of them comes across my desk, I don't even need to look at it. I'm signing the paper and I'm going, but I can't imagine that a trade offer is coming across his desk.
The only type of trade that could happen with Trumaine Johnson would be a Brock Osweiler type deal where the Jets would have to give somebody a draft pick to take Trumaine Johnson off of their hands. As far as Darryl Roberts, I think that he could have been tradable if he was making what he made last year. So if he was a very low-cost option that you could bring in for depth purposes, maybe he's somebody you could get a late-round draft pick for, but he's making starter money right now, so there's no way anybody's taking him. Plus, as you said, Chris, he has not played well. It's different when you're playing as a fourth or fifth corner, when you're the starter and you're getting destroyed like that and making the money that he makes. It makes him more or less unmovable. Let's move on to Ty Montgomery. This is an interesting one, Chris, because the Jets have not used him, which makes no sense to me. You would think they would use him a lot more than they have. They used him very sparingly, despite the fact that he obviously has experience playing wide receiver and running back. They could use help spelling Le'Veon Bell because Bell is been overused for the bulk of the season. They could use him as a wide receiver because they're very shallow depth-wise there, but they haven't done much of either one. He's somebody that came cheaply in the offseason, 1 year for the veterans minimum, but I think he may have shown enough in the preseason that somebody might be willing to give up a late round pick or a conditional pick to get him if they have injuries at running back. We've seen a couple of teams that have had injuries at running back. So this is a guy that I think it's worth keeping an eye on, but just bear in mind, if the Jets get anything, it's not going to be much.
Yeah, I mean, remember, he was traded from the Packers after he had that whole fumble on the kickoff thing and tried to force it, and then they ended up trading him to Baltimore for a seventh-round draft pick. So I can't imagine that there can possibly be any hopes and desires to get anything more than that now. And you touched on it. This is one of those weird things that I don't really have an answer for. Watching all the training camp and preseason, I thought Ty Montgomery was going to have a much bigger role in this offense. I am hardly the only one on the beat who thought this. We all watched it, and we were like, oh, Ty Montgomery is going to get a lot of snaps. He's going to be in this offense. He's going to be used as a receiver. He's going to be used in the backfield with Le'Veon Bell, sometimes to spell Le'Veon Bell. And he's not out there a lot at all. And it just – I don't get it. They seem to put such a heavy emphasis on using him. I thought he was going to be a weapon that they tried to lean on, and they really haven't gone to that at all. So – again, this is another situation where I would understand the Jets being willing to move on from somebody like Ty Montgomery. I just don't know what the hell you're possibly getting back. And it's one thing to make trades and to, you know, get draft picks for the future. But if you're just selling off a bunch of people just for sixth and seventh round picks, that doesn't seem to make much sense.
I could see doing it if they're able to get a sixth or seventh round pick, only because Gase doesn't seem like he's going to use him the rest of the way, and they're not going to bring him back. He's on a one-year deal anyway, so might as well get something rather than nothing. This isn't a player that you're going to get a comp pick for. But again, it really saddens me that they haven't done more with him. Not that he's a great player, but clearly they have a use for somebody that could do what he does, at least in little bits and pieces here and there, and they haven't done much of anything. So I'm confused, but if they could get something for him, I think it probably makes sense given the situation right now. Let's talk about the offensive line, Chris, because in theory, any of these guys should be available. It's just I don't know who's going to want them. Kelvin Beachum, if you trade him, I'm not sure what you do there. I guess you would leave Adolga at left tackle and put Shell at right tackle. If Beachum wasn't hurt, maybe some team would want him down the stretch because they'd want offensive line depth. A contender might give you a conditional late-round pick or something, but he's hurt, and I don't really know what the Jets would do to protect Sam if they got rid of him. Shell is an interesting one, only in the sense that I suppose there could be a team that maybe looks at Shell and thinks that he's worth something depth-wise. Maybe you could get a late-round pick or a conditional pick for him. They're obviously not going to bring him back. He was benched for a reason, and he's terrible. I don't know that there's anyone that's willing to give you anything for him, but I suppose if somebody is, you consider it, even though it would leave you very shallow depth-wise. The rest of these guys, you're not going to trade Alex Lewis because he's been your best offensive lineman. Chuma Adoga is a rookie, so he's not going anywhere. I guess maybe if you want to make a case, you could try to trade Winters. I don't think anybody takes him. He's been banged up. He's making a lot of money. And then you would have to put Compton in their guard, and you'd have no real reinforcements there. So I don't think anything's going to happen on the offensive line. I just don't think there are any realistically movable pieces there.
Yeah, there's really not. And I mean, maybe with Shell, maybe there's somebody who had that him on a list before the season. Like, you know, there was some okay tape with him earlier in his career. Maybe we can turn it around and get him fixed out. Maybe they liked him then. And they'd be willing to take a chance to get him in early and get a look at him so they could make a decision moving forward. But even then, we're talking again about like a sixth, seventh round pick most likely. Back to the previous thing, I agree about Ty Montgomery about being willing to give him for a sixth or a seventh. What I meant more along the line is right now we're talking, every player we're talking about is like best case scenario is a six or seven, and you're not trading like five players away and just collecting six and sevens. That doesn't make sense. So you could choose one or two of them to do it with, but like what's the point of having all those six and sevens? But yeah, on the offensive line, just Adoga, rookie, is not going to trade him. Obviously, Khalil just retired. He came out, signed a one-year deal. Hasn't been great. You're not going to sign him. Winter's not going to be able to trade him. Beachum hurt. Hasn't been good. I mean, like, maybe there's somebody, like I said, that had Shell on a list before the season as a maybe. But even then, I doubt that.
One guy that's definitely not going to be tradable is Kelechi Osemele. Chris, this is the weirdest situation. We still are missing pieces of this story, I feel like. But at the same time, I think Brian Costello made a really good point here. This is a fight that the Jets just can't win. Whether or not they're on the right side is a whole other story. But Osemele can do things here that the Jets can't. He can release medical records that they can't. He can talk about this publicly and they can't. So no matter what, he's going to win the PR battle and the Jets are going to look bad. I hope that they have a leg to stand on for their sake, because if they're doing this and they're on the wrong side of things, on top of the fact that they're getting crushed in the PR battle, this is going to look really, really bad for the franchise. And I know that these guys have a tendency to forget stuff like this when it comes to contract time, because if the Jets offer the most money, then whatever, they'll come and sign with the Jets. But still, this is not the kind of thing that you want out there, especially if the Jets end up actually being on the wrong side of this. It's one of the more bizarre situations I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it's totally bizarre. And like that right there, what you said about what Costello said, that's pretty much the biggest reason why I'm sitting here thinking like there has to be something missing from the Jets side here, because I can't imagine, like, they have to know this and they have to realize that they're going to, they can't really be going through this unless they have a leg to stand on, unless there's something that they can point to and feel completely right and vindicated on. Because Costello's absolutely 100% right. He can get out in front of this and he can talk it, and he can either, you know, be completely upfront and completely honest with everything and just paint everything bad as the Jets are. He can spin lies and the Jets can't counteract it. So, for them to sit there and just take these hits and not be able to say anything on it, that would seem ludicrous for them to go through all that just for them to be proven to be wrong and proven to have screwed him over in the end. There has to be something. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving Joe Douglas the credit to say that he's competent enough not to withstand all this negative PR and press. I don't understand what, like, if I'm in charge right now, I'd probably just be like, you know what? I'm just going to let him do what he wants. It's not like we're talking about somebody with like a $30 million cap hit. Like, you know, like it's not, they can afford to take whatever financial hit they'd get from, it doesn't make sense why they're doing this. It just doesn't make sense at all to me. But then again, this is kind of how a lot of the season has gone. So I don't know. I'm giving Joe right now, I'm saying Joe Douglas is more competent than this, and that's why I'm thinking this, but we'll see, and maybe I'll be proven wrong.
I would hope so for the Jets' sake, because as you said, Chris, for them to dig their heels in like this, if they're on the wrong side, would just be a really bad look. And I don't know exactly what Joe Douglas's role here is, because I'm assuming he's following directives from ownership here. But either way, Joe Douglas is going to be the one that would take the public hit on this. And so I hope for his sake that they actually have a leg to stand on here, because otherwise this is going to be very ugly. Let's move on with the rest of the potential trade targets that other teams could be calling the Jets about. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball now, Chris. Jordan Jenkins is a player who has been fairly solid for the Jets. He's a third-round pick. He's been a solid producer, but nothing amazing. So here's a guy that the Jets may or may not want to bring back at the end of the season. Hard to say right now. What kind of value would he have to another team as a fairly ordinary player who's in a walk year? I don't know, maybe a fifth or sixth round pick. At that rate, is it worth trading him? I guess if you believe that the season is over, then maybe it is, if you've decided that you don't want to pay Jordan Jenkins. I probably wouldn't move him, because I think you can most likely re-sign him for a reasonable price. And again, not that he's great, but we've talked about this. He's been a solid edge setter, and he's not the guy that you want to be your number one edge rusher. But if you have him as your number two edge rusher, it's not that bad. So that might be what I'm looking to do, try and get a reasonable contract done with him. And I just don't think that the return that you're going to get back, a fifth or sixth round pick, most likely would be worth it. Now, don't get me wrong. If there's some crazy team that steps up and offers you a third or a fourth and you've decided you don't want to pay them, fine, go ahead and do it. But anything below that, I just don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's one of the guys that so far we've mentioned where I'm like, yeah, I could see somebody actually trading for him. But what it would cost, it doesn't make sense to me that you wouldn't try to get him back in at a reasonable number. I think they can get him at a reasonable number. I don't think he's going to be commanding huge money from anybody. If we're talking, I think he could probably, you might be able to get like a fifth back for him. The chances of getting that fifth to equal the production that he has, I don't know. It's a tricky situation, because obviously if you lose Jordan Jenkins, you could find a replacement for him without much of a problem, and you might be able to find a better replacement. But he's a really solid player who isn't going to cost a crazy amount of money to resign. And like you said, if all of a sudden you get a top pass rusher in the draft, and you then all of a sudden Jordan Jenkins becomes a lot more valuable to you. So he's one of the players that I think that they could trade and get at least something worthwhile back. I just don't know if that would be enough for me to actually pull the trigger.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry.
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Let's continue on the defensive side of the ball now, Chris, with Marcus May. This is an interesting one. We've debated this. I think a lot of this comes down to whether or not Joe Douglas sees Marcus May as a long-term piece that he wants to keep around, because you have to bear in mind, Marcus May is 27 years old. He's been hurt a lot, and his contract is coming up at the end of next season, his rookie deal. I'm not exactly sure what his market value is going to be, but this has probably been the best football he's played in his career, and it's the healthiest he's been. So if you've decided that you don't want to pay him, then maybe now is the time to move him, because I think you could find a way to get by the rest of the season, which, let's be honest, is kind of a lost season in a sense, because we know they're not going to make the playoffs. So you could get by with somebody else at safety the rest of the year if you need to. As far as I'm concerned, this really all depends on what you can get back for him. I think if a team is willing to offer you a third or a fourth and you've decided that you want to move on, now might be the time, because he could be hurt at any moment. He's been hurt so much that now that he's healthy, his value is probably never going to be higher. And again, he comes up for contract at the end of next season. If they don't get a decent offer, then I would hang on to him no matter what. And listen, it's possible that Joe Douglas has identified him as a long-term piece that he wants to keep around. But remember, he's starting to get up there in age for a player at his position. And on top of that, you're talking about somebody who's hurt all the time. So I think if somebody calls about Marcus May and they're willing to offer a third or fourth round pick, you have to at least consider it.
This is the biggest reason why you do not want to consistently draft older players like Mike Maccagnan consistently did. Because you get them, you have them for 4 years, and then they all of a sudden, their second contract, you're debating about the age. And obviously, the matters are complicated more because Marcus May had the injury issues. I wouldn't trade Marcus May, and I would re-sign Marcus May in the offseason. Again, he's a safety. He's had all the injury concerns. He's not going to break the bank. And I just think you need a safety like Marcus May behind Jamal Adams to let Jamal be Jamal. I am a big believer in Marcus May. The only knock I have on Marcus May are those injury concerns. So if, you know, I'm not privy to obviously what the doctors and the medical history, all the medical stuff, if they have like strong concerns about his durability going forward, then okay, I could be talked into moving on from him. But if they're comfortable with that and they're just like, those are just, you know, injuries that happened, that he's got nothing hanging over from him there, that then I'm going to keep him. He's not going to cost that much money. I don't, as much as I think Marcus May is really good, I still don't know what he would fetch back in return. So obviously you could throw out no one's going to offer him a first round pick, or obviously, but I just think that you need a safety like that to cover up and let Jamal be Jamal. And those free safeties, those single high safeties, aren't easy to come by. And again, he's not going to cost too much to re-sign. So I wouldn't move on from him unless it was just an absolute, you know, can't refuse type offer. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I got to be honest, Chris. I think if they get offered a third or a fourth, I'd probably pull the trigger. I'm just too worried about those injuries going forward. We've seen this too many times. I think this is a situation where you would sell high. I like May. I think he's a good player, but his age and injuries, I just don't know. And I'm not as convinced as you are that you wouldn't have to give him a sizable contract, which you would have to do at age 29. I don't know that I like that prospect. So I think if a good offer came in the form of a third or fourth round pick, I'd probably lean towards doing it.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Now let's get into some more controversial possibilities here, and we'll start with Robbie Anderson. This is somebody that we thought was definitely going to be a part of the Jets' long-term plans. You and I have talked about this a bunch, but opinion has shifted. Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News, who's a weekly guest on this program, has come out and said that the Jets are indeed actively shopping Robbie Anderson, which indicates to me that they believe that he probably is going to ask for too much money, or maybe already has asked for too much money. Perhaps they've checked in with his side about negotiations and been told numbers that they don't find tenable. So they're looking to see what they can get. I'm not sure that the Jets are going to necessarily deal him just to deal him. I think that they're putting him out there and saying, if you want him, he's available, but you're going to have to meet such and such asking price. The question becomes, what is the asking price? According to reports last year, the Eagles had offered a fourth rounder for Robbie and the Jets said no, which I think is wise. Here's where I fall on this. This is a very difficult one, and I think it's the most difficult one of all the players that the Jets could be in the market to trade. A lot of people have made this point, including you, Chris, and I think it's a very valid one, that if you trade Robbie Anderson, you're hurting Sam Darnold a lot this year because then he doesn't have much left to throw to. The counter to that is, if the Jets feel like they are not going to bring him back at the end of this season, and a team offers them something really good that they feel they could take and turn into a really useful piece, then maybe it's worth doing. And you can just grin and bear it for the other half of the season against a bunch of opponents that aren't that good. And if Sam Darnold is anywhere near as good as you think he is, he should be able to get by with Jamison Crowder, Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield, Chris Herndon when he comes back against the Dolphins, the Giants, the Bengals, so on and so forth. I think I fall somewhere in the middle here. I'm with you, Chris, in the fact that I don't love the idea of trading Robbie Anderson for the reason that you said, that it could hurt Darnold's development to a degree. I also would like to see him stay because he's 24 years old and he's shown a lot of upside. But at the same time, if the Jets have decided that they don't want to keep him for whatever reason, let's say they don't want to pay him, and some team calls and offers a second round pick in what's going to be a very loaded draft, if the Jets get a second rounder for him, and we're going to talk about Leonard Williams, if they get some draft picks for him, now all of a sudden Joe Douglas is loaded with draft picks and he can really start to put his stamp on this team. He can draft his own wide receivers. He can rebuild the offensive line. So I could see doing it if some team makes him a really good offer. If it's, say, a second round pick, or maybe a third and a fourth, like what Denver got for Emmanuel Sanders, I think you'd have to at least consider it. I don't know what I would do, though, honestly, Chris. I think a second rounder, I would probably pull the trigger. Anything less than that, I think I would probably just hang on to Robbie. And obviously, we don't know for sure whether or not the Jets are going to get that third round comp pick. There are some other factors in play in terms of how much money they may spend, because if you run the numbers and you look at some of the players the Jets are going to get rid of and some of the guys that are going to walk, they're going to have a lot of money freed up under the cap again. So it's entirely possible that they won't get the comp pick that you think they might get for Robbie Anderson here. So I know what you're going to say, Chris. You're going to say that the Jets shouldn't trade Robbie Anderson, and you're going to want to drop kick Bam Bam Douglas, which, by the way, I wouldn't recommend because he'd kill you. No offense, Chris.
Understood.
But still, that you would want to drop kick him for trading Robbie Anderson. But I think if a lucrative offer comes, you'd have to at the very least consider it, and I might pull the trigger on it for a second-round pick, to be honest.
Yeah, what I'm going to say is if they trade Robbie Anderson, I am going to hammer them. And a full disclosure here, I would re-sign Robbie in the I'd give him an extension. I'd be trying to give him an extension now. So I love Robbie Anderson, the player. I love what he can do for Sam Darnold in this offense. And I would absolutely look to keep him long term. I think this team, this offense lacks weapons, and it doesn't make sense to get rid of one of those weapons. You build the offense around Sam Darnold, Le'Veon Bell, Chris Herndon, and Robbie Anderson and Jamison Crowder. That's a solid foundation. If you can just upgrade the offensive line and add one more receiver, that is a really good unit that you have there on offense. If you trade Robbie away, you're opening up a hole. Yes, you're getting a draft pick in return, but you're creating a new hole there. I know there's still a lot of fans out there that still look at Rob. Oh, he just runs one route. Number one, there's plenty of great receivers in this league who survive only on being able to run one route. I'm not putting Robbie Anderson in the Randy Moss category, obviously, but I mean, he can run every route Randy Moss ran. I still believe he can do more. And I believe that we would have seen that he could do more if we had been able to see Darnold throughout the entire season so far, instead of just the three games that we've seen him in. In one of them, the mono game, and one of them might as well have been a mono game because he would the Patriots just absolutely destroyed the entire offense and nobody had a chance to do anything. And a lot of that was just because of how badly Gase got out-coached in that situation. I think that you would have been able to see more there. But this is the thing. If in the off season you want to move on from Robbie, you don't want to pay him what he wants, I can be talked into it at that point, because you can go in and you can get another receiver and to fill in before another game is played. I am not signing up to have Darnold play and try to develop the rest of the season with just Demaryius Thomas and Jamison Crowder as his only two receivers. I'm not doing that. I think that would be so bad for Darnold's development. And yes, I understand the schedule gets much easier, but like you can't just brush off how the positive impact that Robbie could have on Darnold over these next stretch of games, because if maybe stats get inflated, maybe things get inflated because they're beating up on bad teams, but the way that will the confidence boost that will give Darnold, that'll give the rest of the offense, the way that he can continue to develop with him, I think that's more valuable than anything else. Priority number one since they drafted Darnold has to be the development of Darnold, and taking his best receiving option away is not helping him in any way, shape, or form. And then further complicating matters is what are you getting back for him? I know obviously it's a different situation here, and each situation, each trade is different, but the Patriots just got a second for Mohamed Sanu. Robbie Anderson is worth a lot more than Mohamed Sanu in a vacuum. Obviously the Patriots do a lot more of the short game stuff, so Mohamed Sanu makes more sense for them. But getting a second round pick sounds nice and all, but at the expense of Darnold's development, nah, I'm not going with it. Like I said, if in the offseason he wants more money than you're willing to pay, but you can replace him with another receiver before they actually have to play a game, I can be talked into it. You're taking away that piece of Darnold's development mid-season and expecting him to adjust and look great against these bum teams without Robbie. I'm not here for that. It doesn't make sense to me. It's making Darnold's job harder on him. It's making his development harder on him, and everything should be geared to making that easier for him.
Since you mentioned Mohamed Sanu, Chris, it's probably worth noting that Patriots pick is essentially an early third round pick, because it's going to be the 62nd pick most likely, since the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. The other thing to remember is that Sanu has next year on his contract as well at a very cheap price, whereas Robbie Anderson would require signing him to an expensive long-term extension. So there's some differences there. And I think you make some really good points, and I agree with you that it wouldn't be ideal for Darnold's development. Certainly, the numbers that Michael Nania put together about what Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson were able to do together at the end of last season and then against the Cowboys this season were promising, but this all comes down to what Joe Douglas thinks of Robbie Anderson and to some extent what Adam Gase thinks of Robbie Anderson for the long haul. I know that you think that Robbie Anderson is capable of a lot more. A lot of other people do. I certainly think that he's capable of more than he's shown, but what does Joe Douglas think and what does Adam Gase think? Do they think that he's capable of a lot more than what he's shown? Do they think that he's worth paying and keeping around the long term? That's really the question here. And then it becomes, if you're Joe Douglas, you have a lot of work to do in the offseason, a lot more than a lot of Jets fans realize. You've got to completely rebuild that offensive line. You've got to get additional weapons at wide receiver. Now, obviously, if you lose Anderson, that subtracts somebody, but maybe you feel like it's a loaded wide receiver class, so you could get a wide receiver to replace him and at the same time use this pick to get someone on the offensive line. Then, of course, they've got to get an edge rusher. They've got to get two new cornerbacks, maybe three, to be honest with you, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Brian Poole. He's on a one-year deal, so he may go elsewhere. So there's a lot for Joe Douglas to have to do here, and so he may feel that he needs to load up on draft picks, and if he's decided that he's not going to keep Robbie Anderson beyond this year, then perhaps he feels that it's worth it to get a second round pick if somebody is willing to offer that. Now, that remains to be seen. I wouldn't trade him for anything less than a second round pick. I think a second round pick, and you can make a compelling case. Anything less than that, and I just don't think it's worth it, because for what you're going to end up doing, like you said, with Darnold taking away a weapon there, and on top of that, you would probably, we don't know for sure, but probably get that third round pick back in 2021. So I just don't think it's worth it for below a second round pick, but we're going to see what they do. It sounds like, if nothing else, the store is open with Robbie Anderson. He is available. It's just a matter of if some team meets the price that the Jets are looking for. And that is going to be the case with Leonard Williams as well. I don't think the Jets are going to trade Leonard Williams just for the sake of trading him, but I do think that they realize they have enough depth that if they get a package they like of draft picks, and they can use those to, as I said, stockpile and go into the draft and start to fill the holes that they need to fill and rebuild this roster the way that Joe Douglas wants to rebuild it, he's probably going to make a deal here with Leonard Williams. And I teased this on Twitter, Chris. I said that I have some information on a team that may be a serious suitor for Leonard Williams. And I got to be honest, I'm surprised that this team is probably going to be a serious suitor, because I never would have thought this. In fact, I would have bet against it at mybookie.ag, which is where you should be doing all of your gambling, especially since when you sign up there, they will double your first deposit. That's right. They will match your first deposit when you use the promo code OVERTIME over at mybookie.ag. But forget about the trade deadline. You can bet on all kinds of prop bets around the league and with the New York Jets. Is Sam Darnold going to throw for two or more touchdowns and bounce back this week? Is Le'Veon Bell going to have his first 100-yard rushing game this week? Will Darrell Roberts and Tremaine Johnson cause me to curse at the television more or less than three times? It's going to be more. Trust me, it's going to be much more. Plus, you can bet on the actual game itself and the games from around the league. Go to mybookie.ag and sign up now. Get your first deposit doubled when you use the promo code OVERTIME. Mybookie.ag, you play, you win. and you get paid. You may want to bet on the Jets game, but you also may want to attend it. In fact, you may already be in Jacksonville, or you're planning to make that last second trip. If that's the case, you want to make sure you get the best tickets possible because nobody wants to travel all the way to Jacksonville to sit in the upper deck. So be sure to get excellent tickets for the game if you're down there. Download the Vivid Seats mobile app and you'll get up to $100 off on your very first purchase when you use the promo code OVERTIME at checkout. Every purchase comes with a 100% ticket guarantee from Vivid Seats. Plus, you automatically get enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. This gives you the opportunity not only to get great seats for the Jets and Jaguars if you're down in Jacksonville, but for any event that's coming to town that you want to see, a sporting event, a concert, a wrestling show, whatever it is your heart desires, you can get tickets for all of it at Vivid Seats. Remember, head over there right now, use the promo code OVERTIME at checkout, and you'll get up to $100 off your very first purchase. So the team that I teased on Twitter yesterday as potentially being a serious suitor for Leonard Williams, the Indianapolis Colts, Chris. At first, I thought no chance because we know that Chris Ballard loves draft picks and does not like to trade them. He's very stingy with his draft picks. I reached out to my buddy George Bremer, who covers the Colts for CNHI Sports in Indianapolis, about a week ago, and I asked, do you think that the Colts would be in on this? I know they have a need at defensive line, but they're notoriously stingy with draft picks, and he said probably not. Well, a couple days later, I got a text from him telling me the following. He said that he has now heard that the Colts have a significant degree of interest. The price will be the question because their interior defensive line has not done what the Colts wanted it to. It's not lived up to expectations. And they feel apparently internally that Leonard Williams is somebody that could come in and make a difference for a team that's in the playoff hunt and for a team that has a legitimate chance at the division. They have a loaded roster. And by the way, worth remembering, they have a lot of cap space. So if Leonard Williams goes in there and does well, they could franchise tag him or they could sign him to a long-term deal because they have that kind of cap flexibility. I hope the fact that Chris Ballard, who's one of the best general managers in the league, seeing Leonard Williams as a potential difference maker on that line opens some eyes as to what people around the league think of Leonard Williams as opposed to what a lot of people on Jets Twitter think of Leonard Williams. But the question here would come down to price. Now, A, the Colts are not the only team that are interested and they're not the only team that's going to be making a serious offer. And B, again, I'm not telling you that the Colts are going to go out there and get Leonard Williams. I'm just telling you that they are expected to be a serious suitor. As far as what the price could be from the Colts end, talk to George about this as well. We both think that the deal that was made for Emmanuel Sanders could serve as a bit of an example as to what you could expect from the Colts as far as what they may offer. And that was a third and a fourth going to Denver in exchange for Sanders and a fifth. I'm thinking maybe it would be a third and a fourth for Leonard Williams and that sixth round pick that the Jets got from the Kansas City Chiefs in exchange for Darren Lee. I don't know if they're going to get bigger offers than that. They may. Remember, a lot of people didn't think that the Raiders were going to get more than a third round pick for Amari Cooper. They got a first rounder from the Cowboys. Dante Fowler Jr. commanded a third and a fifth last year, when as far as I'm concerned, and I think a lot of the league agrees, he was an inferior player to Leonard Williams. So I think the Jets would probably expect more than that. It's going to be interesting, Chris. Maybe some team that we're not expecting steps up with a second round pick. You never know. But I do think that a third and a fourth for Leo and maybe a late round throwback, because a guy like Chris Ballard and a lot of other GMs like to have extra picks. They don't like to give up two picks. They might say, okay, if you throw me that late round pick, now I feel like I've only given up one draft pick in totality. So it's something to keep your eye on. But yes, the Colts are a team that will be in the mix here. I don't know exactly where they're willing to go price-wise, but they are very interested. And then I'm sure there are several other teams that are very interested as well, because Leonard Williams is a very good player. And remember, he's only 24 years old. And so if you're a team that's a contender and you're looking for that one last piece on your defense, he could be the guy that you identify as somebody that could come in and help make a real difference.
Yeah, so one thing you guys everyone's got to keep in mind here. You mentioned this when talking about Mohamed Sanu there. Basically, any team the Jets are going to be trading with for any of these players, it's going to be a later pick in that round. So even if we're talking about a second round pick, it's most likely going to be right on the border of second or third, because most of the teams that are going to be looking to trade right now are going to be playoff contention teams with Super Bowl aspirations. I know I saw the Raiders. The Raiders have been mentioned with Robbie Anderson, so maybe you could get more of a middle of the round pick there. But with the Colts, obviously, and Leonard Williams, right now you look at the landscape of the AFC and how everybody's playing and looking right now. Obviously, the Patriots had penciled in AFC championship, etching in stone if you want. That's probably just as safe. But the Colts right now have as good a chance as anybody to be in that AFC championship game. They have to be feeling really good about this, their chance right now. And if they look around and say, hey, we can get there, Leonard Williams can help us get there, and he might be able to help us win and get to the Super Bowl. And yes, Chris Ballard is very protective of his draft picks. He doesn't like to give them away, but he does have the cap flexibility. This is the stuff you always hear about. The reason why you have cap flexibility is so you can make moves like this in the season. You can be like, hey, we have a shot here. Let's go make this move to bolster a weakness of our team and make it try to make it more of a strength. And yes, he's stingy on giving up the draft picks, but he's collected them and he hasn't given them away. So he can look and say, hey, all right, I am going to be willing to part with a draft pick for Leonard Williams, who can help us now. And if he's looking and saying, we give up a second for Leonard Williams, and that's probably going to be like the 58th pick in the draft or something like that, is Leonard Williams going to be a better player than whoever they're likely to get at 58? Yes, they have to pay Leonard Williams, but again, they have the cap flexibility. And again, like you mentioned, Leonard Williams is still young. He's still only 24 years old. So that would be a move that makes perfect sense for the Colts, and a move that I could see Chris Ballard making, saying, this is why I keep that cap flexibility. This is why I don't just give my draft picks willy-nilly, so I can go and make it on somebody that can actually help us immediately and have an impact right away. Obviously, with Leonard Williams, I'm more willing to let him go than I would for Robbie, because I don't think it's stunning any development there. They have so much depth on the defensive line. I probably am not going to pay Leonard Williams unless we're talking that you could get a really sweet deal. I'm not paying Leonard Williams because there's enough talent on that line. You got Quinton Williams coming along. He's going to get better. I wouldn't be wanting to invest more money on that defensive line. So I'm not going to pay Leonard Williams. I don't think getting rid of Leonard Williams now in season is going to have a huge impact on this. It'll have some impact. The defense will be felt a little bit, but it's not going to stunt the development of anybody else. It's not going to mess up things for anybody else, and it's not going to really hold this team back. Where with Robbie, I think it just stunts the development of Darnold too much. Leonard, you don't have that situation here. So I do think that the Colts make a ton of sense. Obviously, because it's Chris Ballard, I'm still going to be hesitant to say it. You know, it's definitely going to happen, but I could see somebody else out there. Absolutely. We've talked about this a lot. Every other team would love to have Leonard Williams. Now, does it make sense for them? Does it make sense for them to give up? Whatever. If you can get a second back for Leonard Williams, you do it. No question. You got a third and a fourth or fifth, and then you probably do that as well. It just makes – there's really not much downside to get trading Leonard Williams at this point, because I just can't possibly imagine it being worth it, being a smart idea to invest that money in paying him with the defensive line with the way this roster is constructed right now.
I think what you're most likely looking at in terms of a return is either some team is going to surprise you and offer a second-round pick, or the more likely scenario is the Jets are going to get something similar to what Denver got for Emmanuel Sanders, a third and a fourth in exchange for Leonard Williams and a late round pick. I think that's reasonably fair value when you consider how much money he's going to command as a free agent at the end of the season, and the fact that the Jets have so much depth on the defensive line. You'd like to keep Leonard Williams here, but it makes sense that considering the fact that you have so much depth on that line that you wouldn't invest those kind of resources in him and you would trade him now. But I do think that there's a chance you could be looking at a second round pick. I think it's more likely a third and a fourth, but a second's feasible. I think a third and a fourth is worth it. I think anything less than that, and I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't be willing to move him for a third by itself or a fourth by itself. I'd rather get the comp pick and let Leonard Williams play out the rest of the year, because if he ends up playing well the rest of the year next to Quinn and Williams, you may have a change of heart in terms of keeping him, or at the very least, you could franchise tag him and then look to move him for something else. Worst case, you franchise tag him and you could still get a third, because look at what happened with Jadeveon Clowney, who, by the way, apropos of nothing, is struggling mightily in Seattle. Not that has anything to do with it, just throwing that out there since we mentioned Jadeveon Clowney. But I do think that anything less than a third and a fourth, and I would just hang on to Leonard Williams for the rest of the year. Same way that I think that if you're going to trade Robbie Anderson, you've got to get at least a second round pick. Otherwise, it's just not worth it, and I'm hanging on to him. I'd consider it for a second, but anything less, I probably wouldn't do. So I think this is going to be an interesting trade deadline. For the most part, Chris, you don't get this with the Jets. Typically, you don't see big-time deals being made at the deadline with them. The only one that I remember, and it wasn't really a big-time deal, and it came out of nowhere, was the Percy Harvin deal a couple of years ago. That was a strange move. It came out of left field, and it didn't work. I thought at the time that it was worth a swing, but clearly it wasn't exactly something that panned out. The other one that I remember, and this is a lesser trade, was the Rashard Robinson trade, which, by the way, I will still defend, because that's a guy who had flashed a lot of ability at times with the Niners as a starter. I know he had struggled a lot too, but he had starting experience. He was young. He had talent. You'd seen it on tape at college. So for the price of a fifth round pick, I think that that was a worthwhile gambit. It didn't work out, but that's what you use fifth round picks for, to make deals like that. So I have a lot of gripes with Mike Maccagnan, and I know that it didn't work out, but Chris, that's another example of process and results. The process was good. I thought the move was a smart one. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm not going to crush Maccagnan for that one, though I'm less willing to cut him as much slack as you are for it. I probably wouldn't have done it, but I do agree with your general premise there. One thing I'll say about the Leo thing is you could probably talk me into just accepting a third for Leo now, just because even let's go through the comp process and say you get a third round comp pick for him, and just assume that would be a given. That third, you wouldn't get that pick until 2021, where if you traded him now, you'd likely get a 2020 third round pick, and that could just expedite the rebuilding process by a year, just, you know, a little bit more. So if they're still considering whether to give him long-term money, then I would agree with your line of thinking there. But again, I don't think it makes sense to invest the money in another defensive lineman there, unless you're going after somebody who can, you know, straight up just is great at rushing the passer. So I wouldn't do that. And I would probably settle for, you know, just a third round pick or a third in some type of late pick swap, just to expedite that process and get that pick going into next year's draft.
I think you also have to set value too, because if teams know that they can lowball you going forward, it's going to be dangerous. That's what happened with Mike Maccagnan. He got taken for a ride on most deals. Now, the Sheldon Richardson trade is the only one that I don't think he did, but the rest of these deals, a lot of times he ended up getting taken advantage of, and I think that a lot of teams saw the early deals and then got in on it. So with Joe Douglas, he wants to make sure that he establishes himself as somebody that gets what he perceives to be good value in these trades. So that's a big part of this too. We're going to see what happens though. The trade deadline right around the corner, Tuesday, 4 p.m., and we will have Manish on to discuss the fallout on Wednesday morning. He's going to have all the breakdowns, all the news. We'll probably hear some stuff about what almost happened, because there's always stories about things that didn't quite go through that were in the works, and we'll have a lot of details about that as well. Chris, we're going to be back tomorrow with the pregame report to break down the keys to the game, plus we'll have gambling tips, the injury report with Dr. Stoller, weather from Ed Valley, And I believe your deputy editor, Alan Schechter, is going to be making his debut, giving us a weekly history segment because he writes a history piece over at your website. What website is that, by the way, Chris? And what can we expect to see when we head over there?
JetsInsider.com. He got Alan's history piece up there. I'll have my game preview up there. And then, you know, it will be some trade, you know, rumors, trade deadline talks. You obviously wish that the Jets were in a position to be sellers, buyers, but they're not. And obviously we'll be watching Darnold real closely on Sunday and see how he does, and have plenty up there about that and how everything is going there.
Go ahead and follow Chris on Twitter at CNimbly and at Jets Insider. Follow Alan Schechter, his deputy editor and the president of the Calvin Anderson Fan Club, at Alan_SCHECHTER. Read Chris's very big deal work over at JetsInsider.com. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.